Right, good morning.
Good morning.
God's saying a lot to us already today. And again, I would really encourage folk not to miss anything that's been said that you really feel is for you, because sometimes different things and contributions can be made during a Sunday morning gathering like this, and you think, oh yeah, that was great, that was for me, and then something can move on and then we can can lose it. But Richard was giving some profound stuff from the conference he's been to. So it was Dave, Trevor, Peter's testimony, Tim X's testimony, and the different contributions that have been made. So if God has spoken to you through any of that, please heed it and continue to meditate on it. And I trust and hope, pray, that the few words that I'll share with us this morning complement that and go with it and add to it as well. I have to say it as well, from the outset, that I include myself entirely in this teaching. I mean, sometimes when you're preparing your word, you think, well, I've really got to grasp this and get this completely into my heart and mind and spirit and lifestyle before I have any authority then to come and bring it. I have to say that I'm not quite there yet. I've been working it through, wrestling it through, but I'm saying, and hopefully encourages you, that as I bring the teaching, I'm including myself entirely into it. Right, I thought we'd put this up to start with. Not that you need reminding, or not that we need reminding, but you remember a few weeks ago when Richard was outlining the vision to us, again, the vision and the mission for the current year, reminded us about being a family on mission together, bringing hope and restoration. And it's those truths that we need to try and keep in the forefront of our minds in the busyness of life and the details of church life, then that's who we are and what we're about. Added to that, what am I doing wrong? I'll switch it on, that'll help. Richard also shared with us, and not that these are exclusive or entire, they're the only things that we do, but he set before us some particular steps that are our focus and priorities for this year. Again, to complement and go with what we've been working on in previous years. And those three things were discipleship, new facility, and lowering the average age of the congregation. So again, I would encourage all of us to try and keep those things in our minds and our activities. So that everything that we're doing, think, well, how does that sort of connect with those things? And it's interesting, just after a few weeks, how that things can start slipping. It's interesting, we had a meeting the other day of the wider leaders, and Richard said, well, let's talk about our three steps for the current year. And it was a bit sobering how difficult we found it as a group to actually bring those three things rapidly to mind. So let's not forget that they're there, and that's what we're working at. And I'm going to try and include references to those three things as we go through. We're on a program, a teaching series called God Says. And it's fairly straightforward in its aspiration. We're just trying to look at some biblical truths, simple statements that God says to us and about us in his word, things that we very well know, but perhaps just need to be pointed out and illuminated to us again. And they're biblical truths to know, to live in the good of, to live by, but not just head knowledge, but also and significantly by the Holy Spirit. So that these biblical truths are touching not only our intellect, our information, our minds, and our reasoning, but also our spirit, our emotioning, our emotions, the way that we decide things, the way that we behave. And again, we've emphasised quite strongly the non-negotiability, really, of the Holy Spirit in empowering all of this. When Richard was outlining those steps in January, he was saying, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. We can have lots of words, lots of programmes, lots of activities, but without the empowering the Holy Spirit, that's all that they are. And if you remember when Nigel was with us 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was talking again about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the non-negotiability of that, that we need the Holy Spirit's power not just once, but regularly, to be filled again with the Spirit to help us to know and live the truth. So it was really a combination of Word and Spirit. So that's the season that we're on. And you may remember going way back, probably over a year, we started on this series, and we had truths like, I am, God says, I am justified. God says, I am redeemed. God says, I am his child. God says, I am adopted. And various things like that. And then we had different series of teaching last year, particularly the land in between and audacious faith. And then we also studied Galatians. And then we come back to God says. And you may remember, I hope, that two or three weeks ago, Bob very helpfully shared with us, with some really powerful illustrations, the truth, the biblical truth, that God says that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Simple and as straightforward as that, but as radical and life-changing and revolutionary as that is. And Bob gave us some really good illustrations on that, and I'm going to refer to a couple that he brought when we did that. And then last week, Dave brought, again, the truth from Romans, that God says there is no condemnation for those who are living in Christ Jesus, and talked all about that guilt and set free and the sacrifice. And the truth is, whether we feel like it or not sometimes, but the truth is that God says there is now no condemnation. So the verse I've been given, and it is only one single verse, you might be pleased to know, today, is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. And it simply says, my life is hidden in Christ, in God. Now, I think we should put that in a little bit of context, because we know that over the last couple of years, we've done a detailed study of Ephesians. And as I say, last year, we did Galatians, looking at grace and the truth of all that. So we haven't done an in-depth study for quite a while on Colossians. But Colossians 3, verse 1, if I just put this verse 3 that we're looking at today in context, says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will be with him in glory. So that's a bit of the context that Paul is writing. Now, as I've been looking at this and reading about this, I thought, well, what does it mean? What does it actually mean? And what can it mean for us to be hidden in Christ, in God? And I've come across four different images, different ways that Christians and scholars and commentators have thought about this and looked about this over the generations. And some may or may not be helpful to you. So I just want to run through some. The first one, understandably enough, just from what I've read in the context, is that primarily to be hidden in Christ means that our home is ultimately in heaven. In other words, we are no longer sort of members of the earth. We are, but we're almost strangers here because our home is in heaven. And there's that sense of having an awareness of our heavenly home, and that the trials and whatever that we may go through in life, we can always remember that our heart is, that God has called us to heaven. And certainly the way that this is expressed in terms of keep your eyes fixed on things above, think about higher things, don't worry about earthly things, there is that sense of yes, our genuine residence, our real address, our real citizenship lies in heaven. So that's one way. That's obviously a good biblical way. A second way is, again, hopefully many ladies will relate to this, is that sense of an unborn child within the womb. And it's got, well, we'll come on to these, what it all means in terms of safety and security and preciousness. So that sense of the way that a baby, certainly before it's born, is hidden within its mother's womb, there is that sense again, that image that is brought forward, that in the same way that we are hidden in Christ. Now, that may be a bit strange, particularly to guys. You think, well, how does that help me? How does that understand? But there is that real sense of complete support and protection and reliance, being in Christ. A third image, not dissimilar, and we see scriptural references to this, is with like a mother hen with her eggs before they're hatched, and then particularly with the baby chicks once they are hatched. That there is a fierce protective love that the mother hen has for her young. And there is this biblical image of the wing coming right round and protecting and really supporting the chicks that are in her care. It's a tender love, but it's a very fierce love. And there's nothing going to harm those chicks while the mother has anything to do with it. So it's that sense, again, of being hidden in God, being safely supported and protected by Christ in the same way that the chick is by its mother's wings. But the fourth way, the one that appeals to me most, I have to say, is that sense of a rock in the desert. And looking at this, there are biblical references to this as we look back into the Old Testament, particularly David, as he was on his battles. And we read various psalms that he would hide himself in a rock. As the battle was fierce about him, he would go into like a cleft of a rock and protect himself in there. And sometimes as he's really under pressure and under scrutiny, in danger from the enemy, he will pray. His earnest prayer will be, Lord, provide a rock that I can hide myself in. And we'll be familiar, some of us, I suspect, with the old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And again, this is a particularly strong biblical image of what it means to be hidden in Christ, in God. To be with so within God as a rock, that there is nothing that can harm us or separate us from his love and protection. And again, I believe that's got sort of biblical resonance, and that when Paul was saying, my life is hidden in Christ in God, there is that sense of being protected in a rock. I hope that some of those will help. You'll be familiar with the expression out of the comfort zone. And I've got a couple of illustrations of me being well out of my comfort zone. And you'll see how it all connects with this in a moment, I hope. Several years ago, we went as a family to a holiday with other families in Wales. And it's a little cottage, but there was quite a lot of rough ground all around. But there were lots of rocks and boulders and outlying buildings and so forth, and it was a lovely summer's day, and it was quite happily relaxing, and somebody said, oh, let's have a game of hide and seek. Oh, no. And because it wasn't just a little game of hide and seek like children play in a house, or even in a room sometimes, but it was what you'd call a wide game, really, because it was all out in the countryside, and there was huge opportunities for hiding, and therefore lots of running around, getting dirty, for seeking. And to say I was out of my comfort zone is an understatement. But it was good fun. I have to say, once we started it, it was quite good. The game of hide and seek. In that sense, the hiding is being so that you can't be found. To be completely hidden away, it's the opposite of being found. The whole contrast of the game, of course, hide and seek to find. An even more extreme version of that wide game was Dave will remember this, Dave Dunham, coming up to when he was getting married. Happy anniversary for this coming week, by the way, Dave and Jenny. some bright spark thought, rather than having a normal stag do, some of the guys would go for a Y game on Cannock Chase. Not in the summer. It was this time of the year. As I said. Pardon?
About 9 years ago.
Yes, just about 9 years ago. So it's this time of the year. Cold, dark, wet. So, of course, yeah, you have to do it. So a group of us got together and all the arrangements were laid out. So it wasn't in the middle of the daytime. We started about 9:30, I think. Yeah. It was dark. And we met up on the chase. And again, we were split into teams and we had various exercises on logs, rolling around, shifting stuff about. And, of course, at one point, there really was a serious wide game of hide and seek. And we were in teams. I think we were in pairs. And, of course, it was the last ones to be found that were the winners. And so we had to dodge around between the trees and obviously try and get to the end point without being discovered or caught. And so there would be many, many minutes of a complete silence, nobody even trying to break a twig. Just imagine us all behind these trees. And it was good fun. And it wasn't just for the guys. Well, because the ladies, very kindly, when we all finished the whole thing, they brought us a load of takeaway meals at the end. And I said to Dave Webb at one point, this is really cold and really dark, isn't it? He says, cold and dark? It was quite a bright moon, actually, on that night. And Dave said it could have been far, far more sort of extreme than this. It was extreme enough for me, I can tell you. Talk about out of the comfort zone. But again, it ended up being great fun. And we got a little memento, didn't we, to remind us of the occasion. And it's like no stag do I've ever been on before, or likely to go again. But it was great. But again, hide and seek. Our whole point in doing that, whether in the Welsh mountains, in the sunshine, or on Cannock Chase, in the cold and the dark, was to put ourselves in a place where nobody else could find us. The point of being hidden in Christ is that we are so found in Him that we cannot any longer be lost. You see the contrast? Hidden in Christ means being found in Him and Him alone. And so we've already sort of started to consider some of these implications for us as we know and live out these truths. Whether we like the image of our home being in heaven, the unborn baby, the hen with her chicks, or safe in the rock in the desert or the battlefield, God says, my life is hidden in Christ, in God. Which means the truth is, He says over each of us, that we are safe in Him. We are sheltered. We are protected. We are secure. We are precious. He's done that. His initiative alone has brought us into that place of being hidden in Him. And all of that, of course, speaks to us about being loved, deeply and richly loved, not begrudgingly, but with grace lavished upon us, as we read elsewhere. And sometimes when the battle is fierce, sometimes when things are tough, it's good to remind ourselves and one another that our life is hidden in Christ, in God, and that we are all of those things because of what He's done for us. Going back to that hen and chick image, there's a fierce love and a protection. Just consider, if we say we're hidden in Christ, in God, there is nothing that can then come to us or harm us because of where we are, our position. The chick won't let any danger or any opposition come and affect the chick. And the being hidden in the rock means even if an enemy comes around, says, I can see who I'm after, but they're in the rock. I can't get to them. Safe and protected. It's a love as powerful as death. And indeed, the very fact that we're in Christ, hidden in him, relates back to the fact of we have been loved unto death by him, as we've remembered in communion today. It's not a reluctant or indifferent or sparsely given love, but extravagant, powerful, lavished upon us. You say, okay, well, how does that truth, how can that make a difference to me and my daily life? And again, this is something I've really sort of wrestled with and prayed, tried to pray through. And I've got three particular points I'd like us to consider. And again, never forgetting that we're empowered in all of this by the Holy Spirit. I think one thing it can bring to us, and God would encourage us to have through all this teaching, is confidence. If God says over me and over you that my life is hidden in Christ in God, that immediately can give us confidence in the world, in the situations that we find ourselves in. He said that over us, so we can be confident in that place, in that position that we have and are in him. It changes the way that we can think about ourselves. We may tend to think naturally, oh, we're such and such a way. But then when we consider with all of this series, God says, I am, all of these things, it changes the way that we can think about ourselves. Again, it's trying to get the truth into our hearts and our minds. You say, well, I might think this about myself, but God says, I am hidden in Christ in God. And it changes the way that we think about ourselves and increases our confidence. We'll come back to that in a moment. Also, and this may seem the opposite thing, it can have a sense of increasing our humility and our attitude to service. Because when I recognise that God has done that for me, and I am placed in him, my life is hidden in Christ in God, but it's only because of what he's done for me, that makes me feel very humble, and that sense of gratitude and thanksgiving to him. But also in terms of our relating to one another, let us be humble in the way that we respect one another. Because when we see each other, let us consider, this is somebody else that is hidden in Christ, in God. God has done this for that person, and that person, and that person. So let us treat each other with great respect and honour, because of who we are, who we all are in God. And I think this connects with our step for this year in particular in discipleship. And God would say, I have a real humble attitude in this. That we need to be discipling one another, but also a sense of submission and surrender to be discipled ourselves. Not to put ourselves outside of the frame thinking, well, I've got it sorted, I'll be discipling everybody else. But allowing ourselves, whatever role or responsibility or profile we may have in the church, to be discipled. And it's not an opposite of confidence, but there is a sense in which we need to have that humility to one another. And there's a real sense of that way can build up the body and strengthen the body, because we are open to one another and open to receiving instruction, correction, rebuke, encouragement. So it increases humility. One of the things that really did touch me about what Bob was saying a few weeks ago when we were doing Nothing Can Be Separated was that this teaching, it's great for us, it's good for us to know it individually as Christians, but it's also given to us so that we can benefit others. And that really struck me, Bob. I'm very grateful for that. And one of the others, groups of others that we can bless through living these truths, is one another within the church family. So we can bless one another by having humility and serving one another, and particularly this year in being open to discipleship. Mission. I struggle to know what word to put here. different words occurred to me: compassion, outreach, evangelism. If I can just link it back again to that Bob brought about benefiting others. Applying and living these truths can benefit others. And it's not just one another within the church family, as we've just talked about, but it's also those that don't yet know these truths. Those that don't yet know Jesus. And again, it's the way that we can sometimes think about people that don't yet know God. Let's see them as people for whom Christ died. They may not have yet made that connection and may not have come to that point of submission to him. And therefore we can't yet say that their life is hidden in Christ in God because they haven't made that decision. But nevertheless, Christ died for them. And again, let's treat all other folk with honour and respect and sensitivity. And again, this is really where we need the Holy Spirit touch to know what to say, what to do, what not to say, what not to do when we're interrelating and connecting with those friends and family that don't yet know him. And again, that relates to confidence, because I said about having our own confidence in him, the more that we grow in confidence, we'll have that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to be able to say, to talk to folk about what we believe and to encourage others in their own walk of faith. And again, this is not just for one particular age group. See, a reference to lowering the average age. Again, we talked about this on Tuesday night at the wider leaders meeting. We want the church to be a family representing all ages, from the youngest to the oldest. So although we're saying we want the average age to come down, that doesn't mean we're excluding any group or any particular age. We want that breadth and width of a whole family. And we must never discount what God can do in any age group. I shared with you last January, I think it was, an encounter I'd had through a work meeting with somebody from a different faith altogether that I was able to share with. And they asked me eventually what I believed, because I was taking exception to the way that they were behaving. And so I sort of challenged them and had a good conversation. And that led on to this guy, Tarek, going to an Alpha course in the place where he lived, elsewhere in the country. And he said to me afterwards, well, why has nobody ever told me this before? And, you know, there's a real sense and a danger that we can think that people who are not Christians have considered it all in detail and have decided rationally and intellectually and all the rest of it that it's not for them. But there are many people for whom they don't know these truths, to whom the truth has not yet been told. They haven't yet been given an opportunity for themselves to consider the claims of Christianity, the person of Jesus himself. And therefore, we can't always assume that people have thought it through or have been faced up with the truth, and therefore that their decision or their lifestyle at the moment is where they're arising from that. And again, this is where Alpha is so good as a model, because there's a situation there where people can ask absolutely anything. And people do. And God has used that model of Alpha. And again, we don't need to be anxious about that we've got to do all the teaching. It's a case of inviting friends, family along to a meal, to a discussion, in an informal, safe environment. Just think of Andrew in the Gospels. He brought Peter to Jesus. That's the way around, isn't it? Yeah. So Andrew just got hold of his brother and said, look, I've met Jesus. Let me take you to meet him. All Andrew did was put Peter in the way of Jesus. Jesus did the rest. And, of course, what Peter went on to do then was to found the church. But Andrew's role in all of that was simply to take his brother to meet Jesus so that Peter could meet him for himself. And in a sense, that's all Alpha is about, as far as we're concerned, is getting people along to it. And again, if we think about walk across the room that we did, about the Matthew parties, it's simply a case of saying to somebody that you know, come along, find out a bit more, consider if it's true, consider if it's real. Of course, we need to be good friends with them and constant and persevere and faithful, but we can carry on and encourage others into faith. And again, that can, the confidence to do that can arise more and more as we grasp more and more these truths about what God says over us. Just to reassure you about Tariq, he became a Christian and he's now active in work in Bristol amongst the Muslims and Hindus. And of course, his testimony, his witness, has got real authenticity because he's come out of a different faith background. But he keeps saying to me, why did nobody say this to me before? Other age of this end of the age spectrum, I met a guy through our work this week who's 70, in good health, very bright, come out of the army, and he said to me that he had met Jesus when he was 65. He'd been a tough fighting man in the army, became a Christian at 65. And again, it was that sense in which he said, but why did nobody tell me this before? I spent most of my life not knowing Jesus. He's turned my life around at 65, which is great. But why did nobody tell me before? So again, let's not assume, say that people have decided against it or against God. God can break through at any age, any stage of life. So, our God Says series can inspire confidence for ourselves in our own self-perception about knowing and realizing who we are in Him. Humility, particularly towards one another, in being open to being taught and changed, challenged, encouraged. And it also benefits others in as much as it can give us confidence in terms of our relating to those that don't yet know Him. So as Bob was saying to us, it's not just a case of doing us good, it does do us good, but it's also given to us to benefit others. And again, it's as if God says, nothing can separate us. Now go and build my church. Which is exactly what Bob was saying. Last week, Dave was saying, there is no condemnation. Now go and build my church. And today we're hearing, my life is hidden in Christ in God. Now go and build my church. And let's never forget, so the last point is, I said that before, the non-negotiability of the Holy Spirit. It's not, He is not an optional extra. He is our empowering. He brings the truth alive. He gives us that sensitivity and wisdom and courage and boldness in our daily situations to be able to live this out. And again, I was touched with what Nigel said a few weeks ago. We were talking about the implications of being a Spirit-filled people. He didn't say, well, it's to do with tongues and so forth. He could have, and he said that. He said, but other fruits of the Spirit, again, as well as love, joy, peace, but were things like courage, compassion, tenderness, sensitivity, wisdom. Again, all those coming out of a regular touch by the Holy Spirit to teach us these truths and help us to live it out. I think that's the, that was the last one. So again, my prayer is that our series is not just improving our head knowledge. It's good to know the truth and to get it in us. Later on in Colossians it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. To get it deep, deep down into our hearts and minds and lives. So it's good to improve our head knowledge, but in all of this series God is wanting it to go deeper, not just into our heads but our hearts and our lives as well. And as I try to share, not just to benefit us good though that is, but to benefit one another within the life and health of the church family, and also to benefit others outside of God's kingdom at the moment. So I want to encourage, I'm just going to finish with a prayer, and then I'm going to invite the worship band, or the music folk, to come and do Before the Throne of God Above again, because it features the line, "My life is hidden in Christ in God." That was why I particularly sought that one. And then I'm going to offer opportunities for ministry specifically to do with this particular word. But if any of the other God Says words that you want prayer for, we can. And of course, if anybody is sick and wants prayer, then we're happy to pray for you too.